It's Wednesday, March 28th, 2018, and welcome to episode 210 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Zach Stanford.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology. And today we have a special guest with us. Dr. Stanford is here for our EdTPA Day. Welcome, Dr. Stanford.
Thanks for having me.
Well, today we have finished our last submission for EdTPA, so I think everybody's celebrating a little bit. But can you kind of just go over just a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today and just the importance of what EdTPA means to all of our student teachers?
EdTPA's become a very big issue in student teaching in the last few years because the state of Illinois now requires students pass EdTPA to obtain their licensure. So it's actually a large component of the first 8 weeks of student teaching. And the goal is students submit at the halfway point and hopefully pass on that first test. But if not, we have a little time to make corrections if needed.
Okay. So today we're going to kind of talk a little bit about some of the things that we do to help our students be successful through the EdTPA submission process. And here at the ITC, since I deal on the technology side, we'll pass along a few pointers, especially on the video creation, because that's such a huge component of EdTPA. So sit back, relax, and here we go. Today is EdTPA Day here at EIU, and I have a special guest with us today. Hello, Dr. Stanford.
Good morning, Dr. Grissom.
Well, good morning, and we had a lab full of students over there this morning, and I think this is our last submission for this semester, isn't it?
This is it. This is the final submission day.
Okay, for those that may not be familiar with what the EdTPA is, it's a really big deal around here, but could you just kind of give an overview of what EdTPA is?
Sure. EdTPA is a performance-based assessment that every student teacher completes in their final semester at EIU. It's been required by the state of Illinois, and there are cut scores that each student need to make in order to obtain their teaching license.
So it is a high stakes environment.
Very high stakes.
They can go ahead and pass our program here at EIU, but in order to receive a teaching license for the state of Illinois, they must pass EdTPA.
That's correct. They can actually graduate as long as they've submitted it, but to get the license, they do need that passing score.
Okay. And here in the ITC, the Instructional Technology Center, we, of course, provide a lot of technology support. And one of the big components, and it consumes a lot of my time, is every student's required to video a lesson that they're teaching and then do a reflective statement. And every program's a little bit different. But one of the things that is very time consuming is that video editing process. And can you state a little bit about some of the requirements for the video?
Sure. Pearson's very prescriptive when it comes to the video requirements. Students are encouraged at EIU to go ahead and film the full learning segment. But when they submit the video to Pearson, it has to be in a certain format, it has to be of certain length, a certain file size, and it can't be edited or cropped, or I'm sorry, it can be cropped starting to end, but it cannot be edited or cut and spliced.
Right, it must be a continuous segment.
Yes, it's they want a continuous segment. A typical time limit is about 10 minutes per video.
Yeah, and we have many different programs here at EIU, and those requirements are different for each one of those programs, so that in itself is a little bit of a challenge.
They really are, and it makes it really important that students follow the handbook, because the person that's working down the hall from you in another handbook might have different requirements, so it's really important that you know what your handbook will allow, because there's no leeway on that when you come to submit.
Right, and kind of the whole point of this is for them to provide evidence-based that they are a successful teacher and will be successful in future classrooms.
Exactly.
One of the things that, as I said, sometimes our students struggle with is the video process. And, we've done this for a number of semesters now. So in the past, I've made a OneNote notebook, and then recently I've made a Microsoft Sway application. But we try to meet with all of our student teachers as a group, once before they actually go out in the field. One of the things is that standard format, and today video standard's pretty much MP4, But one of the challenges, again, that we have is we do have checkout cameras at the ITC, but we only have so many, and there's always a run because a TPA always happens within a concentrated 2 or 3 month period. So we don't have enough for every single person just to have. So they're using oftentimes either the K-12 schools equipment or maybe their phone, their mobile phone. And we're running into a lot. When you're in a BYOD environment, kind of that format's out of your control. It's dependent upon the device. So, and, Dr. Standifer's heard me say this a number of times, but we kind of always preach out there that you need to do a trial run of what I call rapid prototype for whatever device that you're recording. And that's for a couple of reasons. One, to be familiar with your specific, video camera or video camera videoing process. And then secondly, for the students, in a K-12 environment, say you're a sixth grade teacher or something, those K-12s, the sixth graders, need to become a little bit familiar so they're not acting, a little bit weird out there because there's a new environment out there and, acting up to the camera or whatever.
That's great advice. You don't want the first day of your EdTPA filming to be the first time they see that camera running because you're just asking for trouble
with that
age student. I will also add that each student teaching coordinator has a camera or two that they can sometimes loan. So that's another option if they're far from the ITC.
Yeah. And we have people all over the state. So they're just not here local to the Charleston area, Chicago, down, all over the place. So that's a good point. The other thing as far as getting students used to that camera out there, whether you're recording or not, you could set it up there, just kind of have them, as I said, just kind of acclimate them. But then we also strongly recommend that you do at least two sessions because there could be technical difficulties or, maybe something doesn't quite go right in the lesson or whatever that you're trying to do. Or you've planned and done everything correct and then, your camera's off a little bit on the angle. And we're asking a lot for these, these student teachers to go out there because they're new to the teaching process. They've got students for the first time. There's a lot of newness out there. And now then we're adding the technical requirement for them to become videographers.
Definitely adds to the pressure, doesn't it?
Yes. And then the other thing, as I said, for these trial runs, you can plan everything out. And I often give the advice, put a piece of tape on the floor so you know what your key frame of reference is so you won't walk out of camera view. Whenever you set your camera up, if you set it next to a group of students, realize that the sound is a proximity based. So if you have a camera sitting right next to a group of students chatting, that's going to overpower the audio and they might not pick up the instructor, the teacher at the front of the room as well. So those are all things just to consider along with, the technical requirements out there.
And a lot of our students are facing another challenge in that they don't always get full participation as far as the video permission slips.
Right.
So in that case, they have to make sure those students don't end up on the video.
Right. Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of moving parts here. And then in the end result here is a video file that we also have to meet some size requirements, which again can be a challenge, especially with today's mobile phones that are very, very high resolution, whether it be an iPhone or an Android phone. The video submission up to 20 minutes, we have had several students submit 20 minute clips, but that 20 minute clip must be under a 500 megabyte limit in order to upload to Pearson's who is going to be reviewing or have their reviewers review that video file. And we've got some little tricks and things out there that we have to run into. But once again, that's part of that trial run process out there. And we recommend that students, if not needed, you don't need to be recording in 4K resolution because your file sizes are going to be huge.
That's right.
And then in a BYOD environment, I'm just trying to think of things that we've run into in the past that may be helpful for those of you out there going through this, whether you're a student or an EdTPA coordinator. The other thing, if your file sizes are very large, depending upon the SD card, sometimes you'll run out of space. Make sure your camera battery's charged. Some of these common sense things that can bite you sometimes.
And it's a nervous time too. When you're up in front of the class and you're teaching your EdTPA lesson, it's high stakes and it's not difficult to make a little mistake like forgetting to switch the camera on at the right time. So
yeah.
it's just something that there's a lot of things to think about.
Yeah, and I think we do an overall a really good job as far as preparing and letting the students know what to expect coming down. But as I said, everybody has a different handbook depending upon the program, so we're really reliant, you know, upon our instructors to communicate that as we go through. And then, you know, another thing that just popped into my mind was sometimes we have with cell phones, they'll record in portrait versus landscape mode. I mean, that's something that'll happen out there.
Right.
The sound, you know, making sure the video and everything's in frame. But sound, and people don't realize this, but sound, even though you're watching video, sound is very, very important. And they're going to be writing a narrative about, you know, a reflection of their teaching process. So they have to hear it so the reviewers can hear it as well.
And it's also important to consider your setting. Some of the more challenging placements to teach in for EdTPA are like a gymnasium, especially if there's another class in there at the same time. And if it's a setting that's going to be challenging from an audio perspective, I actually have a camera with a portable microphone with a microphone that students
with a wireless mic.
A wireless mic.
Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world, and Zoom capability as well.
Yes.
As long as, again, everything's continuous out there. But yeah, that, especially for a kinesiology, as you said, a gymnasium type environment.
Yeah. Otherwise, we found the Kodak PlaySports actually work really well in a typical classroom setting as far as audio.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they don't make those anymore. We need to be purchasing something else, but the cameras are becoming, you know, more and more sophisticated. But as I said today, a lot of people are moving toward a mobile phone. Another issue that we ran into this time as far as video file formats, you know, Chromebooks are out there in a lot of schools, and we've run into a couple of issues there in that there's a program called Screencastify that records a video, but the format is not an MP4 format. You know, it has to be converted. And, you know, there are different conversion programs out there. But as I said, this is kind of one of those trial run things, taking something from, you know, the beginning through completion. Because there's in BYOD environment, you know, many, many different variables out there. You can have the video, you know, be converted successfully, but the audio might not be. So, you know, be aware of that. And Screencastify, they have a free version and a paid version. And you know, a couple of our students had to buy a paid version to convert it over to MP4, and then also to avoid a watermark.
It was definitely a bigger issue this semester than it has been in the past, but those are things definitely you want to trial ahead of time to make sure you're not going to run into that.
And as I said, we've done this several semesters, so every semester, Dr. Stanifer and I sit down, we kind of add to, you know, all the different things, kind of lessons learned. And another one that we ran into this semester, you know, back in the old days with VHS videos, we always had a date and a timestamp that would put over, you know, a watermark over the recorder. And some cameras will do that again today, and we've had a couple of those. So again, that's that trial run. Go back, make sure you review, make sure you can convert it into the standard MP4 format, and make sure your sizes and things. And that's just kind of you know, just one of those things. Another thing I'll mention, back to BYOD, some cameras have a 10-minute limitation, you know, depending upon what you have. So that's another kind of gotcha that can happen out there as well.
And another important thing is just to make sure you've reviewed those videos after you shot them, to make sure you have what you think you have, and don't make your trip to campus not sure of what your video clips are. So I think you need to know that you have what you need to complete your EdTPA submission.
And immediately make a copy of that, because that's kind of, you know, the lifeblood for this narrative process. I mean, that file is what you must turn in. So never work with the original. Always make a copy. Have it at least two different places in a couple of different formats, because your student teaching, this is kind of your life that last semester before you get your teaching license.
And we just had a sad story this semester. A student had uploaded all their EdTPA files on a school server at server space, and that was a split placement. And when they went to their second placement, the tech person cleared their tech, and they lost all their files. So that backing it up in multiple places
absolutely. Yeah. That's one of those, you know, hard lessons learned out there, that those of us in technology, there's something called the 3-2-1 backup rule. You can look it up online. But once, you know, again, something for very high stakes, it's just something that, you know, just smart to do. And it just takes a couple minutes to do that. It's really not too bad. And then I'll turn it over here for just some final comments and things out there. But, you know, one of the big tips as far as coming to EdTPA Submission Day, and, you know, we invite the students in here so that they have the student teaching coordinators available. I'm available for technical help and things. And I think that alleviates some of that apprehension out there as well. But again, we kind of walk them through so they know what to expect. And one of our biggest tips is make a file folder out there and put all of your source material, all of your what we call digital assets inside that folder, and then periodically make backups of that.
That's great advice. That way, when you show up on submission day, you have what you need to get your material sent off to EdTPA.
And the other tip that we give that has come in helpful many, many times this semester and every semester is we recommend many students have to scan their K-12 student work into like JPEGs, and then we put it into a Word document. And then we always strongly recommend that they take that Word document and convert it to a PDF. And that PDF is what would be uploaded to the EdTPA site. But oftentimes, you know, we'll look at a handbook or a student will consult one of our student teacher coordinators and find out that they missed something, so they have to go back and edit it. And again, if you have all of those digital assets in one place and you have a Word document which is editable, it's not a big deal at all to go and change that.
Yeah. You can't be sorry. If you have all your materials and you bring everything that you've worked with along the line, you'll have everything you need.
So we're wrapping up EdTPA Day here. Like I said, this is the last one for this semester, so we've got another semester under our belt. I will provide some resources out there in the show notes to this Microsoft Sway. And, you know, if you have any EdTPA stories or some things that you'd like to pass along, you know, please feel free to drop an email, and we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Dr. Stanton, for coming in and giving us an overview.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My technology pick of the week this week is a free and open source video transcoder called Handbrake. Dr. Stanifer had to step away for a bit to go help a couple of our students out, but since this is EdTPA week, we do need to get our videos in the proper format, and probably the most universal format today that's accepted by EdTPA is the MP4 format. And depending upon what type of device, a BYOD device, bring your own device, whether you use a mobile phone or a camera or a camcorder, there's a variety of different file formats that we have to deal with. One of the things with EdTPA, the footage needs to be continuous. That is, once you start recording, if you're required to submit a 20-minute segment, it must be a continuous 20 minutes. There are no cutaways or anything like that, so there's not really any editing. However, you will have to trim it to the proper length, whatever that continuous number of minutes is. To do that trimming, most people either use the older Windows Movie Maker, which was last updated, I believe, in 2012, but there's still many PCs out there that are using that software. Or if you're on a Mac, the iMovie program in its various different formats. And then if you're on a Windows 10 system, actually the Photos editor, which is actually a Photos and Movie editor, will also allow you to trim it. And I don't think a lot of people realize that their new Windows 10 laptops have that capability. And it's really easy to do. You just grab the handle at the beginning and the handle at the end and just adjust the tabs to however, you know, what your start point is and what your end point is. Save that for however many minutes, and every program has a different requirement. So if you're in the elementary education, that would be different than special education and different than kinesiology and so forth. So you need to make sure that you read and understand the EdTPA submission requirements to meet those minimum requirements. But by far the biggest challenge is to make sure that it is in a compatible format. And that's where our Handbrake software comes in. And Handbrake is very easy to use. You just simply select your video that you want to transcode, select what type of transcoding, and you want to typically do it in an MP4 format. And then finally, you select your destination file. Make sure you choose a different file name for your destination file. And always, always, always work with a copy of your video files. Never, never work on the original. first thing you do whenever you finish recording your EdTPA video is go out and make a backup, and I would put it at least two different places in a, you know, in a couple of different things, and never edit that original. Have that out there available, because it's just so easy to make a copy, and if you would happen to do something wrong or overwrite a file, you would always have a backup. So that's my technology pick of the week this week for our EdTPA Day. It's a program called Handbrake. That wraps it up for episode 210 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on our Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, I'm Tom Grissom. Keep on learning.